Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
And we are back. We want to thank Dennis and Erie. Dennis DiNapoli, who's kind of stayed because he sees some good food in front of him. Of course, we want to thank Bob Sullivan for being a part of that last segment. Something quick, Joe, that you want to say?
No, I was just going to say that was a good segment, and I'm going to take some time and have some pizza.
It's a smart move. So you're basically just saying you're throwing the reins back to me.
For about 5 minutes while I eat.
Throwing the reins back to you? He hasn't said anything in the last hour.
All right.
It wasn't out because he was late anyway.
You know I can tell you what's kind of funny. I did not realize that there was a connection, Richard, between you and my next guest.
Well, goes Whitman Hansen, I mean, to when we were kids.
We have Andrew Botteri, who is here with us, a gentleman who has been on this program before. We've had a chance to speak to about his book, and I believe it's a reissue?
Yes, reissue will be roughly around June 20th, really? And I've added some new things to the book, some new insights into some new research and therapies that have been discovered, or at least working with scleroderma, that weren't available when I first published the book.
Okay, the book called A Celebration of Life, A Story of Hope, A Miracle, and the Power of Attitude.
Yes.
And just a little background on yourself, just so folks know. You're a guy who, you're the founder of Total Peak Performance. You're a guy who's been in the business world. Just a little info on yourself, a bio, if you will.
Well, born and raised in Hanson. Went off to Cardinal Spelman, where I went to high school there. Graduated in the class of 77, yay 77. And from there, went off to both college, Massasoit, and the other 2 years at North Adams State. Then I went west, young man, and got into Phoenix, Arizona, got into radio. Mm-hmm. Got into radio advertising there, and that propelled myself into the apartment industry with, at the time, The Apartment Guide, which was a $400 million publishing company based out of Atlanta, Georgia. And then, obviously, as a startup with a .com called All Apartments, which then became HomeStore.com, which is actually today called Move.com, but one of the largest real estate sites on the internet today.
So you had mentioned when we started this conversation that the book is being re-released. What exactly is different about the book? What is, other than the research, what else is different?
Yeah, a couple different things is obviously a new foreword where we're going to be talking sort of about, you know, and the more people that I travel around and I'm speaking around the country, there are people who sort of heard about scleroderma, might not have heard about it. So the fact that it affects 250 to 300,000 people a year versus ALS, which affects probably 25,000 to 30,000 people a year, I wanted to really, again, highlight and really talk more on a general level of what scleroderma is, because the more people I end up talking to, the more people say, I know someone that has that, I know somebody who died from that. So that's part. It's going to be a new foreword, going to be probably about 8 to 10 pages. I also, in that foreword, Dr. Sims, who is the section head of rheumatology at Boston Medical Center, he's one of the nation's foremost authorities on scleroderma, and he actually has put a little piece in there, too, talking about some of the new therapies and surgeries that they have out there to help people. Not that there's it cures it, because there is no cure, but it allows people to live a little bit easier, have a little bit better quality of life from this debilitating disease. And then the last thing is there's more information, helpful websites. There's also a part in there which is a interactive body tool on the scleroderma.org/body, where people, if they think they have some of these symptoms, they can actually go on to this website, and it will kind of step you through whether you think you have it or you don't know that you have it, but you wonder why your hands and feet hurt and your skin feels like it's crawling. So it's some nice little breakthroughs, again, to really bring more awareness to it, and really appreciate you guys having me in here to be able to do that.
Now, why not just call it A Celebration of Life? You get a little bit of a subtitle that's going on here, Story of Hope, A Miracle, and the Power of Attitude. Is there something behind that?
Yeah, I think really what that subtitle came through was, obviously when I was Googling A Celebration of Life, there were probably about 97 books with that name on it, so obviously I had to have something that was a little bit different. But the more I thought about how did I get here, what was my journey, you know, I really realized that there had to be hope. A lot of the doctors said that, you know, I might be on dialysis for the rest of my life. Other doctors thought that I might not have made it through that day. So I really wanted to talk about hope as I do through the book, because whether you've got scleroderma, whether you've got cancer, going through marital issues, got financial issues, there is always hope. And part of that hope also has to do with your attitude. You know, you've always got to come with your A game all the time. There's no doubt about it. The world is just too crazy today. The business world's too competitive, that you need to come with your A game. And then a miracle, you know, my doctors called me the miracle of Phoenix. I should have died in that ER. I had a blood pressure of 270 over 170, hemorrhaging in the brain, the left ventricle of my heart collapsed, went into a coma, and lost all kidney function.
So it is the month of June.
Yes.
And we had you on here previously. I believe June is the National Scleroderma Month.
I see you've been practicing.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Tell the people who are listening at home, and even educate us here, about scleroderma and how did it actually become a part of your life?
Yeah, scleroderma is a connective tissue disease. It is, there's no known cause, and so therefore there's no cure. What I found out through my experience was that mine was brought on by stress. I was vice president of a .com, working 80 plus hours a week, just you know, dealing with, you know, board of directors who were, you know, pretty high powerful guys. You know, William Randolph Hearst, who at that time was worth about $850 million, used to sit next to me in our board meetings. And so these guys, you know, you're working for them. They want, you know, hide blood, sweat, and tears and everything out of you. And so I started to come back from a business trip. Hands felt a little funny and, you know, kind of pushed it off. Of course, I was 40 years old at the time. And like most of us, we think we're invincible. And so I ended up going through months and months of aches and pains. I went to a doctor, finally got misdiagnosed with rheumatoid arthritis for about 9 months. And then when I went up to San Francisco, up to Silicon Valley area, we ended up getting a scleroderma specialist there, or a rheumatoid arthritic doctor who did diagnose it as scleroderma.
Well, I believe you have a special guest who's going to be joining us. Do you know one state representative, Vinny DiMacedo?
I think I've heard that name a couple times.
Representative, are you there?
I'm here. How you doing?
We're doing pretty good. We have a state representative, Vinny DiMacedo, joining us. What's the talk to us about the representative? What is his connection to all this?
Well, Vinny has been obviously, I've known Vinny now, I think, gosh, going probably on about 10 years, and he's always been somebody who always, you know, listens to what's going on, listens to, I know, his constituents. And so when I approached him last year, we really wanted, again, the more awareness we can get, the more things that we can be doing out there in the public that talk about the name scleroderma, talk about, you know, the website. And Vinny was nice enough to go on to the representative in the House of Representatives and get the Speaker of the House to sign a proclamation declaring June Scleroderma Month here in Massachusetts. And Vinny was nice enough to come down to our event last year and present it to Marie Coyle, who is the president of the Scleroderma Foundation of New England.
Is that so, Representative?
But you know, absolutely. And I just have we had the opportunity to have you talked about your book at all here?
Yes, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, we just talked about the relaunching of the book coming up at the end of middle of June.
Again, for those of you who have the opportunity, I would strongly recommend. I had the privilege of reading his book, and you kind of understand what Andrew went through. And for those of us who know Andrew, you can realize you understand why Andrew is who he is, and why he's every time you see him, he's so happy, because you understand that this is someone that came, you know, days away from not being with us. And so you appreciate every day, and every day is so valuable, and it just speaks to you know, the type of individual and what he's been able to overcome. And from overcoming that, he's trying to bring awareness, because this disease is something that is amazing. I mean, just shocking how it just comes on you without knowing, and can literally, you know, transform your life. And it was just such a powerful, you know, for me, such a powerful read, and it was very inspiring. So I just wanted to make that point, and certainly that's what inspired me to get more involved with Andrew for the proclamation and bringing awareness to this terrible disease, as well as encourage people to read his book because it's very inspiring.
Had you ever heard of scleroderma before, Andrew, or was this your inception into the disease? Representative?
I thought you asked Andrew that question.
No, I was asking you that question.
You know, there was, I vaguely recall years ago seeing, I think it was a movie or something in regards to this particular disease, but just kind of didn't pay too much attention. It was basically tightening of the skin that wasn't too much, too sure. I didn't know much about it. But of course, knowing Andrew and having him explain what he had gone through, really is what, brought the disease much more into the light. So for me, to understanding what the challenges of this disease is.
And Vinny, I really, appreciate all your help there, and I just hopefully continue that, because obviously one of the biggest research centers for scleroderma is here at BU Medical, where Dr. Robert Sims is the head of that. And so, again, the more awareness that you're able to bring to it, and even, talk to your other representatives, any help, any type of guidance in regards to what we can be doing as a group, because both the national group and the New England chapter are both here in Massachusetts. So, I appreciate you keep getting in there and fighting, and hope that no matter where your trails bring you here in this political arena, that you continue to keep that the fight for scleroderma on the top of your mind. I appreciate that.
And of course, I certainly will. It is amazing, and to understand what. Andrew, and I'm hoping we can talk in greater detail about what you went through, because you kind of shared a little bit. I caught in regards to when you were in California and how this, how you were sick, and I don't want to give too much of the book away, but to realize, how much you went through, the challenges that you faced, not really even knowing what was was besetting you, and kind of putting it off, thinking, oh, I'm just tired and weak, and not realizing how close you came, because you didn't have it diagnosed, and the fact that you were able to, overcome, because many people don't overcome this disease. There are people who have been in Andrew's shoes that have been in the same place and have not been able to beat this thing. And so it's encouraging for us to know that there is a way to, there is some hope out there that we can beat this.
Well, Representative, anything you want to say in closing before we let you go?
Again, Andrew and I have worked with him quite a bit and on a whole host of different issues, and he's always there, but I really wanted to more just to make a point of encourage people as he's relaunching his book, which I think is twofold. It is great because it brings awareness to the disease, but secondly, it's a really an inspirational journey for someone to go through and just take a different perspective on life. Oftentimes we take every day for granted, and we don't appreciate it, and when you see someone who has, in many ways, faced death and beat it, and realized that, I got a second chance, and I'm going to make the most out of that second chance. This is Andrew, and I think if you read the book, I think you'll not only be inspired, but it'll increase your faith, it'll increase your desire to appreciate every day that we have. So to that extent, I just wanted to, put in my two cents and be... let people know that it's a great read, and it's and I'm really proud of Andrew and all that he's done in encouraging people in a whole host of different ways.
Well, thank you, Vinny. I really appreciate that. And the check's in the mail, by the way.
Exactly. They're very good. But at any rate, I was really inspired when I had the opportunity to read the book.
Thank you.
Well, we look forward to talking to you further. I'm sure we'll hear more from you now that you are. On the campaign trail, and so we'll definitely have to have you back on Monday Night Talk to talk about that soon.
It's always a pleasure to be on your show, Kevin. Thank you so much for all you do, and I look forward to talking to both of you soon.
Okay.
Thanks, Vinny.
Here we go. West State Representative Vinny DiMastito joining us for a few moments. And, of course, we have in studio Anthony Boteri, and he is the author of the book, A Celebration of Life, A Story of Hope, A Miracle, and the Power of Attitude. Kind of delving back into... what did they say?
Anthony.
Oh, is it Anthony? I'm sorry.
It's that water spike.
Yeah, that's what it is. I have to ask you just out of just to getting back to the questions. Do you have people who have scleroderma coming to you, and what are you doing in regards to kind of helping them with their fight?
Well, I think the first thing is that, as I was in the very beginning, and as I find people, like at the walk last year, there was a gentleman who's had scleroderma for about 25 years, confined to a wheelchair. Both arms and legs are just all kind of pulled in because of the tightness of the skin. And he thought that he was the only one that had the disease. So one of the things that I like to do when I go speaking around the country, or you know, when I'm working with the local Scleroderma Foundation of New England, is really to, when we bring everybody out to the walk, which is June 22nd on Sunday at Nelson Beach in Plymouth, is for people who people with scleroderma to realize there's other people that have it. And the joy that this man had in his face, the tears that he had in his face, because he finally realized that other people had this disease, and that pretty much was pretty overwhelming.
Can I ask you a question?
You sure can.
I'd never heard of this disease before. I'm sorry. One question, and then I'll ask you another question. Is there an age that you find out that this you can attract this? Is it young people or is it middle-aged people?
Well, great question. And there's the typical demographic is 35 to 55 years of age. 80% of those afflicted with scleroderma are females. And they're also now starting to see that there's actually a new group now called juvenile scleroderma. So it's actually starting to be shown in younger children as well. And in my opinion, though, when I was at the National Patient Conference in Atlanta last year speaking, there were quite a few doctors who were really starting to mention the word stress with this disease. When I first had it, I told my doctor, the late Dr. Korn out of BU Medical, that you know I really felt it was from stress. And basically he said, well, you know, you can't prove that medically, so I can't go with that. Right. But I think more people are really realizing, and I don't think just scleroderma. I think scleroderma, I think asthmas, I think blood cancers, and a lot of diseases that people get, multiple sclerosis. I think stress is that trigger that fires something off in your body. And you know, that was me. I was, you know, basically 7 days a week, 80 plus hours a week, and I wasn't coming up for air. And I think finally the good Lord took the 2x4 and smacked me across the forehead with it.
Second question: how many people are diagnosed with this disease?
Roughly about 250 to 300,000 people a year.
A year.
A year.
Wow.
And you know, in some cases, depending on if it's, I have what's called systemic scleroderma. So not only did mine manifest itself on the outside, which basically your body thinks it's under attack, so it overproduces collagen. Like when you cut yourself, that scar tissue is collagen. So my body thinks it's constantly under attack, so it overproduces the collagen. It gets into your low density areas, your hands, your feet, your joints, and it basically starts to harden and crystallize. And I've had a very good friend of mine who was from Plymouth, Marie Reed, an older woman who helped us with the walk and everything. She actually passed away with it a couple years ago because it got into her lungs, and she was not strong enough to wait for a lung transplant. And so it also can go internally, which mine did, and mine went in and basically suffocated my kidneys.
Yeah, but look at you today. My God, it's a miracle, yes.
It definitely is. That's why I got it in the book. Yeah,
absolutely.
And to think that the doctors weren't all that optimistic about your recovery, I mean, how do you feel about that?
Well, I had some of them that were, you know, somewhat encouraging. I think my nephrologist, kidney doctors, I think were more encouraging. But I can remember being in a dialysis chair in Scottsdale where I was taking my 3 days a week, 3.5 hours a day of being hooked up to a machine. I had a couple ports coming out of my chest, and I kept telling him that I was going to be off of this in 6 months. And he, you know, kept telling me, you know, you don't know what you're dealing with. And he would point around the room to everybody else. And I mean, there was like 24 people in this room getting dialysis. You know, this person's been on it for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, to try to dampen my hopes of coming up. And I, so he pointed at me one day and scolded me and said, Andrew, you don't know what you're dealing with. And I pointed back up in his face and I said, no, you don't know who you're dealing with. I'm off of this in 6 months. And by the grace of God and prayer and my own positive attitude, I came off of it in 5.5 months.
What's some of the latest research that we're seeing that you could share with us?
Sure. Some of the research that they're finding, especially with the lung transplants, one of the biggest issues that they had as you hear about with any type of a transplant, is the rejection by your immune system in your body for that new organ, whether it be, you know, heart, whether it be a, the lung, or even a kidney. And so they've now found some drugs that actually help the immune system accept that transplant a lot more. And I just had a very dear friend of mine who actually grew up in Hanson with me. She went to school with one of my older sisters, and she just had a lung transplant about a year and a half ago, and she has been doing extremely well. They watch her like a hawk, which is good, but she's now actually an advocate for patients who are going to be going through the same type of lung transplant, and she's there sort of as a mentor and a coach. And again, here's another perfect example of somebody who could have just stayed in their home and worry, oh, me and victim type of a thing. But no, she just went at it and just said, hey, I got to get out there and help other people.
Would you take a call on this?
Sure.
I guess we're going to take a call.
Uh-oh.
Again, it came unsolicited, so... caller, are you there?
Yeah, it's Brian in East Bridgewater.
Brian, what's your question?
I want to know, Andrew, if you could really explain how you've found out the initial diagnosis of this, or how did you figure you were getting it?
Important. Yeah, when I first contracted it, Brian, I had pins and needles and numbness in my hands in the mornings, and I first thought it was just like I was sleeping on my hands. So that, pushed that off to the side for about 30 days. Then it started happening in the feet. And then I went to a doctor in Scottsdale who, looked at me. I said, I have aches and pains. He said, how old are you? I said, 40. He said, do you have arthritis in the family? I said, yeah, my father and grandmother have it. And he says, okay, you've got rheumatoid arthritis. That was it. It wasn't until 9 months later that I transferred from Scottsdale up to San Francisco and got another rheumatoid arthritic specialist up there and went to meet him. He came out of his office, shook my hand, held onto it, rubbed it, looked around, twisted, and then grabbed my other hand, looked at my forearms. It did some more tests and came back to tell me that I had scleroderma. And as my expression was, sclera what?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I just think it's important to get that out there because you're hearing more and more about this disease all the time.
Yeah, you do, and I hope that with the walk coming up in a couple weeks that we can bring even more attention to it. But thanks for calling in, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thank you for the call, Brian.
All right, thanks.
I guess I want to kind of go right back to some of the lessons that you learned. If you were to give me a couple of lessons, let's just say three, what are some of the lessons that people could take away from your book?
Well, I think the first thing is stop and smell the roses. I mean, I joke now that not only do I stop and smell the roses, but I actually have a little rose garden in the backyard as a reminder that you've got to continue to do that because, in our society, we're the only society in the country or in the world, the only nation in the world, that actually works more and more hours every year for what? For more stress, for more money, for more power. I had that nice little ride for a while, but, when you almost lose it and lose your ability to enjoy any of it, it doesn't really matter. So really carving out, that 5 minutes in the morning just to sit and reflect. I mean, people don't even have time for that anymore today. Mm-hmm. Everybody's either on social media or they're on their iPhone or they're always on the go. Now, we bring it upon ourselves, and I'm not saying that success isn't great. I love success. I want everybody to be successful. But you've also got to be able to find a balance in your life, so stopping and smelling the roses is definitely one of them.
It's so funny that you say that because I make it's and I get ridiculed for this, for doing this, but I make it a point every day to spend an hour, whether it be in the morning or the afternoon, to sit and gather, how I feel and my thoughts and really what is going on around me, so that I can be connected with myself and the people that are involved in my life. And I think too many of us are not that connected because we have, quote-unquote, too much going on, that we don't take the time to really do that. And in some cases, it actually opens me up to having to write down the way I feel on pieces of paper. But I think to be so emotionally in touch with both yourself and your environment goes to what you're saying by it releases some of that that stress that a lot of us feel every day, that for people that are not connected with themselves. And I think that's a huge disconnect we have in our society today.
Well, I'm in big trouble. I'm just really getting paranoid about getting something in a minute. Andrew has totally stressed me out.
But if you look at him, there's hope.
There's no hope. It's too late.
Give him a couple of pearls.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, this guy doesn't need any. He's got his own pearls.
It's just way too late. I'm screwed.
Richie, how about you and I go to McGuigan's and sit at the bar and reflect for a few hours about life and each other?
Over some Guinness works. It sounds good to me.
That's okay. That will work.
Yes.
But he's looking for you to drive him there.
And pick up the bill.
Hey, if it means that we get to relax a little bit, that sounds good.
Well, I think one of the things that's important, even in the business world, is I remember like 20 years ago reading an article that an executive of a business should spend 10 to 15% of their time just thinking, strategizing, etc. And I know many executives, CEOs, that don't even have 2.5 minutes to be able to do that. It's just always on the go. And I think one of the other points is for everybody in this room and for everybody that is listening, I think one of the things that we're put on this earth to do is always leave it a little bit better. But I think make a difference in the lives of other people. I've had more people that have come up to me and say that the book has changed their life. They've given it to a friend or a family member who's been a workaholic, because I'm a reformed workaholic. And they have been able to make those small changes. So even those small changes, to me, is a big win. And that real, when people come up and tell me that, I just feel elated that I've been able to help deliver that message to other people.
Andrew, if somebody wants to get the book, where can they find the book? And also, do you have a list of where you're performing in the next couple of weeks?
Well, they can get the book at andrewbotieri.com, B-O-T-I-E-R-I. You can do that. Also, if anyone would be interested in coming out for the scleroderma walk on June 22nd, you can also contact me at andrew@andrewbotieri.com. Would love to have some walkers, some people supporting, donating, so we can have a big fundraiser. And actually, this coming Sunday night, what is that, the 8th?
Yeah.
I'll be down at the Pilgrim Sands Motel in Plymouth, playing out on the seawall, weather permitting, between the hours of 4 p.m. And 7 p.m. And I would like to just quickly give a shout-out to my mom, who is homesick. And we just want to send our love to you, Mom.
I want to thank you so much for coming in and talking once again about educating not only myself, but Dennis and Richard and Joseph about scleroderma. And we want an update as far as how the book is doing.
Great.
And how the fight is going with scleroderma.
Wonderful. Well, Kevin, I appreciate you. You've been a great supporter of this, both here and then also on your TV show when you interviewed me. And I just really appreciate you giving up your valuable time to have me come in.
There he is, Mr. Andrew Bottieri, and the book's called A Celebration of Life, A Story of Hope, A Miracle, and Power of Attitude. Please pick it up and check it out. We will step aside.
Thank you, sir.
And when we come back, more Monday Night Talk. We'll speak with Phantom Gourmet CEO David Andelman. Don't go anywhere.